Yeah, I love that prayer that we pray, because this reminds us, pardon me, that God's kingdom is not just in heaven. God's kingdom is on the earth. And that's really the focus of our passage today in Hebrews chapter 1. I invite you to turn to Hebrews chapter 1. And we will consider this morning verses 4 through 14. And the subject of this morning's topic is Christ Jesus is superior to angels. Now, I have to say, when I was studying this, I was reminded that we don't often think a whole lot about angels. We don't think a whole lot about the heavenly beings who were created by God for His glory, who exist, and who do not just remain in heaven, but they are messengers of God and interact into the affairs of our lives. We don't think a whole lot about that. But I want us to consider that this morning in light of what God says about Jesus Christ. Because what God is saying about Christ and His superiority to angels, He's not telling us this just so that we may know that His name is above every other name. He's telling us this also to encourage us as we live day by day, that we are under the care of the One who is superior. In your bulletins, you have this publication called The Glimpses of Christian History, and this week's glimpse centers around a lady named Henrietta Mears. Henrietta Mears was not satisfied with everyday ordinary Sunday school. She wanted Sunday school to be magnificent. And she came up with 10 commandments that she lived by. And one of them I want to read because it really speaks to this issue of why we're studying what we're studying this morning. This is her fourth commandment that she came up with for teaching, 10 commandments of teaching. She said, "I will bring Christianity out of the unreal into everyday life. I will bring Christianity out of the unreal into everyday life." And I thought, wow, she got it. That is fantastic. That's exactly what God does through His Word. He wants us to take Christianity out of just the thoughts and to bring God's purposes into everyday life. Well, what does this passage have to do with that? Well, let me read first Hebrews chapter 4, 4 through 14. This is speaking of Christ. Listen to God's holy word. "So He became as much superior to the angels as the name He has inherited is superior to theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, 'You are my son, today I have become your father'? Or again, 'I will be his father and he will be my son'? And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, 'Let all God's angels worship him.' And speaking of the angels, he says, 'He makes his angels winds, his servants flames of fire.' But about the son, he says, 'Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever, and righteousness will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy.' He also says in the beginning, 'O Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe, like a garment. They will be changed. But you remain the same, and your years will never end.'" Praise the Lord for that. "To which of the angels did God ever say, 'Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies the footstool for your feet'? Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation?" Before we consider God's holy word, shall we pray? Father, thank you for being the one whose scepter is righteousness, who loves righteousness, and whose name has been set above all of the companions, his companions. And even as Philippians says, whose name is above every name. And the one that we will worship, we thank you for that. And your word today, and that we're considering today in Hebrews, tells us about Christ. Open our eyes so that we may see Christ in this passage and worship you accordingly. And then, Father, open our eyes so that we may be encouraged and driven to live out our faith this week because of the name of Christ Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. The theme of this message is Jesus Christ is superior to any other spiritual being. Jesus Christ is superior to any other spiritual being. And we're going to concentrate on angels this morning. This is why this is so important. Have you ever wondered why in the best of families, terrible things happen? Have you ever wondered why when you read the paper, you read about people who were put in positions of trust, and they turned that trust into greed and they harmed? Have you ever wondered why that happens? Have you ever wondered why people suffer? Have you ever wondered why that's a part of our lives? Well, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, I made a reference to that in our theme. Ephesians 6, 12 tells us that our struggle in life, the concerns that we face, are not because of flesh and blood. The Bible tells us that our struggle comes from heavenly issues, spiritual issues, forces of evil. That there are forces of evil present. And the message of Hebrews is this: no matter how powerful they may be, Christ is superior. No matter how daunting they may be, Christ is superior. That's why Christ said, God said in his word, greater is he who's in you than he that is in the world. He's going to unpack that a little bit. He's going to tell us about angels who have been created by God to be his messengers and who report directly to God. Angels who have intellect and free will. Angels who have been mentioned in 34 books of the Bible in over 273 times. Angels were used as instruments of God's grace in giving the law to Moses. Israelites would have understood the prominence of angels in their history. Their prophets have been contacted by angels. Every time angels were interacting with human in human history, they were sharing messages of hope and power. And so angels were seen as higher creations than man because they serve in the presence of God. And some believed that Christ was an angel, and so that he was on par with angels. And God in his word teaches that Christ was not an angel. He was in eternity past and eternity future. He is God, the Son of God, exalted above angels. And that becomes important because of his involvement in our lives. Look, if you will, first to a description of his superiority in rank. His superiority in rank. He is superior in rank. Look at verse 4. Speaking of Christ, God's word says, so he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. Now, admittedly, that word became may throw us for a loop. I couldn't wait to share this. That the word became makes it seem like at one point God wasn't superior to angels, doesn't it? It makes it seem that at one point in Christ's life, he was inferior to angels, and then something happened, and all of a sudden he became more superior. That word doesn't mean that. In fact, if you look at the context of Hebrews chapter 1, God said several times that he was superior to angels even before he came, he put on flesh. He became a man who walked among us. God quoted from Psalm 2 and Psalm 104 in verses 5, 8, and 9. It talked about Christ's superiority even before he was born. David prophesied about the one who would be worshipped, the one whose enemies would be thrown at his feet. The Bible says that he would be appointed superior in the same way that he was appointed heir over all things, that God determined in eternity past that his name would be superior to any other name. So he became not when he was born, he became when he existed. He, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit existed in eternity past. He was superior to angels at that point, and he continues to be superior today. The Bible says that his name, he has been inherited. The name he inherited is superior to theirs. That word inherited means one who possesses something. The same way that we possess the blessings of being called Christians in Hebrews 6:17 and Galatians 3:9, it's the same way that God uses when he says that Christ inherited that name. He possesses a name that is above every name. He possesses a superiority to angels. Now look, if you will, again at verse 4. It says, so he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. God uses that word much superior two times in that passage. The first time we can see it in the NIV, it says much superior. So he became as much superior to the angels. And then in the end, he says, he is, in the original, it says, much more superior. Much more superior. Now, God's saying something twice, and he's kind of underlining something for our benefit. He's saying over and over again that God is superior. God is superior. Why? Because he wants us to know that the one that we worship, no matter what the issues of life are, aren't stopped by that. He is not cowed by that. The things that amaze us doesn't stop Christ. He is superior to that. He's superior in rank, and he is to be solely worshipped. Look at verses 6 through 7. And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, let all God's angels worship him. And in speaking of the angels, he says, he makes his angels, winds, his servants, flames of fire. The Son is called the firstborn. You see that word in verse 6, his firstborn? That word talks about his priority in worship. It's called firstborn because it's a title of rank. It means that he is superior above all creation. He is the one to be worshipped above anyone else. He is to be worshipped even before angels. Now, I wanted to turn your mind to an event that happened in the book of Job. The Bible tells us that Satan was created by God. He was at one point an angel of light until, because of his rebellion, he sinned and became an angel of darkness. In Job 1, Job begins with this picture of angels coming before God. Now, I wanted to read this a little bit because this dovetails with what I said earlier about because Christ is superior to angels, why that is important to us. Remember in Ephesians chapter 6, it says that we struggle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Listen to what Job says about angels. Job chapter 1, I'm reading verses, sections from verses 6 through 12. One day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job?" He says, "There's no one on earth like him." And then Satan says, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has?" Satan says, "Stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Very well then, and everything he has is in your hands, but on the man himself do not lay a finger." Then Satan went out from the presence of God. Now here's the reason I read that. Sometimes I believe in our Christianity, we believe that God is here and Satan's here. Sometimes in cartoons you would see this. Some of the commercials, I still see it. You see a good angel on this side, a good person on this side, and then the red person on that side. And they both are trying to give an attention to one another. One is good and one is bad. And so sometimes we believe that God is here and Satan's here, and they're both equally powerful. And the one who is more powerful at one moment is the one who's the victor. And boy, we hope that God is more powerful at the moment, right? This passage reminds us that God is not on par with Satan. They're not on the equal field. God is here and Satan reports. He still does. Our enemy reports to God. That is an amazing concept. Let me tell you that I used to work in mental health. And we were overseen by Medicare. And I had to report to a person in the county. And when I reported to the person in the county, I had to really be careful of what I said, because the person in the county was a relative of somebody I worked with. And so when that relative was happy with me, everything went well. The person in the county was okay. They were on my side. But when I made that person mad, the person in the county took it out on me. Some of you guys work under that, don't you? So sometimes we think we have to be liked by the person in charge in order for things to happen. I want to tell you that God is not against you. He's not trying to find out how much he can force on you. He's not trying to find out how hard he can make your life. Satan is. He continues to push. He continues to press. But he can only do what God allows him to do. That God remains superior to him. So in your walk as a Christian, you have faced, and you'll continue to face some really difficult things in life. And you may be tempted to think that, how can you live like this? Is there any hope? As you look toward the future, is there any hope? Remember that the one who calls you by your name, the Son, is superior to the strongest force of evil that we will ever know. His name is more superior than his. That is one of the things that brings me courage as I walk into hospital rooms, courage as I meet with family members going through very difficult times, courage as I face issues in my life, because of the God that I serve is superior than anything else that's against us. He alone is worshipped. Next time you see a commercial with an angel on one side and a demon on the other, remind yourself that that is not a true picture of Christ and Satan, or of Christ and angels, that he is far superior. He's solely worshiped. And then lastly, he is superior in role. He is superior in role. Look at verses 8 through 9. But about the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever, and righteousness will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy." Two things that I want us to consider. First, the permanence of the throne. The permanence of the throne. Boy, I love this. That God's throne is forever and ever. God's throne will never be usurped. Let me read something from you, to you from Romans that puts this reality into a different picture. Listen to this. Romans chapter 8, verses 37 and 39 tell us why it's so wonderful that God's throne is superior, that it is permanent. Romans 8, 37 and 39 reads, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, or depth, or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. For the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." I want you to think about this. The one who is supreme above all of creation will not allow anything, past, present, no power, no angel, anything to separate you from his love. You will never be separated from that. As he sits on his throne, that will remain. That will remain. And then he holds a scepter of righteousness, or the scepter of uprightness. Listen to Psalm 45. It says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of your kingdom is a scepter of uprightness. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions." Let me ask one question. Do you like hypocrites? Do you? I hate hypocrites. You know what a hypocrite is? A hypocrite is somebody who will tell you one thing in front of you, and then they'll turn around and say something else behind you. That's a hypocrite. I hate hypocrites. You know why I bring that up? You know when I read in Psalm 45, it says that your throne, your scepter is a scepter of uprightness. That word uprightness is used only one time in Scripture. It's translated righteousness in some translations, but it means one who has nothing to do with hypocrisy. One who has nothing to do with hypocrisy. Now, I want you to think about this. This is what this means. We've read here that God is superior to angels. We've read here that nothing will separate us from the love of God. We've read from God's word that he cares about you. He's concerned about what's going on in your life. And not only yours, but in the lives of your loved ones. If he was a God of hypocrisy, he would tell you that. And the first time that you had problems, he would turn and speak to one of his angels and said, "You know, I really didn't mean that. They're really on their own. I hope they make it." But because his kingdom is a kingdom of uprightness, what he says here, you can count on. What he says about himself, about his throne, about his power, you can count on, because he will never lie. no matter what it is that you will face in life and your loved ones will face. One of the reasons this book was written to the Hebrews was to remind them that Jesus Christ, the one who lived in front of them, was more than a man. He came in the flesh and he was a man, but he was the Son of God. And he remained superior to anything in their lives, superior to angels, so that they may safely serve him. We struggle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, against spiritual powers of wickedness. And they can't touch us. They can't harm us. Because the one who's in us is superior to them. Shall we pray? Father, we can understand with our minds that you are superior to angels or any spiritual force. We can understand that. But allow us to live that out when we're faced with decisions that will cause us to be unfaithful in your sight. When we're tempted to live in ways that do not honor you because we doubt your power. We doubt your purpose for us. We doubt your love for us. And we believe that if you loved us, everything would go well and terrible things wouldn't happen if you loved us. And so that can't come from you. Remind us to trust you. Remind us to rely on the one whose throne is a scepter of righteousness, of uprightness. And hypocrisy has nothing to do with the way that you deal with your creation. Remind us of that. For Christ's sake. Amen.